C1A. Number 15B.
In the measure as we atone ourselves with the grandeur, the beauty, the depth, the implication, the import of our new life, of our principled life, of our principled way of living, we atone with that, we find in ourselves the support and the strength for that life. And we can always do what we like to do, we will always be criticized, always. And the more Jesus went along his loving pathway, the more he was criticized. And lesser apostles will have the same to do. But that's the beauty. That must be. That's the divine law. That must be, because once we must come and be forced to that point where we don't atone with a worldly support of life. It's death to us if we think that life must be supported by the world. That's death to us. Atonement says, atone with life, and that life supports you. And that life acknowledges you. And that life adores you and honors you and accepts you. And so she comes to Life the Truth, where she says that atonement demands the endurance of trials. That every pioneer of truth must be able to endure the experience, and that he cannot go around. The human sense of life says, I want to go around trials. But the divine sense of life says to our human sense of life, divine must overcome the human at every point, must also overcome that sense that we don't want to struggle through. And finally, in Life as Love, he says, I epitomize this at the moment, atonement demands a constant, universal self-sacrifice so as to win the crown. It is a universal sacrifice. Here she broadens out to the universe. She says that we must overcome error at home and abroad, in themselves and in others. She sees that if life is God and not something just individual, but universal, all encircling, that therefore we must overcome a false sense of life universally, for us and for the others. No good to say that I'm not going to die if I believe that the others are going to die. No good that I think I will resurrect myself and I'm going to be resurrected, but the other fellow won't. It's not universal. It would just be a belief. It must see that it has nothing to do with anybody. It's a claim. Death is just a claim. And so we must see that we atone with life as God, and not just atone with life as my life, or with life, atone just with life as my husband's or wife's life. It's not universal, and it's not scientific, it's just one life, just there is one God. Well, I'm coming to the end, or I must stop here very soon. Just let me perhaps say this again about life, about the atonement of life, that in the measure as I begin to realize and exemplify in my life that I'm only one with a principled sense of atonement, with that wonderful sense of going to the revelation of God, finding its spiritual interpretation of God, letting that work in me and change me and transform me, and be obedient to that sense, and be willing to go through the experiences and find my true manhood and tone myself with my true manhood, with the divinity in me. As I do that, I begin to see that nothing else is working in me than the principle of man. God as the principle of man is the power of the messianic work. Well, that principle, therefore, is the only working principle and the only working agent, the only working power. Therefore, whatever has happened, if it is from that principle, it is life. If it is not from that principle, it never had life and it never will have life, no matter if the world says it had life and it had no life. Well, that means for each one of us, individually, collectively, or universally, it means that only that which is principled embodies life and has the right to the name of life. That therefore all that is true about my true life is that which came from principle, came forth from principle, is returning to principle, and that alone is life. All the other so-called life is a big lie. It's one big lie. It is not true. It is completely untrue. For me and for you and for everybody, it's completely untrue that life had a starting point. That life was created by human beings, by parents. It's completely wrong. That was not life. It is completely untrue that life, divine life, was ever influenced by the act of creation, by prenatal circumstance. It's completely untrue that life had anything to do with human education, that it has anything to do with human happenings, with sickness, with sin, with false characters, with idiosyncrasies of our characters. Had never touched life. All that which has to do with creation of mortals, with prenatal circumstances of mortals, with birth troubles of mortals, with their education, their surroundings, their accidents, their sicknesses, their troubles, their ups and downs in life, that never was a true living history, that never had life. If we accept that it never had life, then it can die. But if we see through it that it never had life, though the world says it was life, though the world says it was your life and their life, if we don't accept that, if we see that life is God, then our true history is in God. And we have always had a happy life. We always had a life impelled by the divine mind. We always had a life which was cared for and cherished and loved by the mother sense of God. We always had a life which was resurrected and resurrected and resurrected by soul. We always had a life which was only full of documents of the power of principles working in our life, and that's the true life, only life, that's our life. And that life never dies, because it was never born, it was never created, so it can never die. That life was never sifted into matter and through matter, was never put into matter, so it can never get out of matter, can never stay in matter. It was always completely separate from a material history. Let's atone with our true life. That's the beauty of life. And that means, I know that's the difficulty. We like to atone with the true sense of life, but are we willing to go through the Eucharist to lay down that false sense of life about us and others? If we do, we have begun to raise the dead in us. Now tomorrow I will go on with the truth.